So I call this partly for selfish reasons, because I hope to get out of this perhaps an article for the more popular press, for which I don't write very much. And I appreciate your ideas on how to relate your disciplines to that group. But I'm also hearing, since I've come here, that condensed matter in particular feels a little underrepresented in things like books or popular articles. And I guess that's easy, you know, to understand on one level, because astronomy has the obvious stars in the sky, and particle physics has sort of the building blocks of nature, and condensed matter is hard. But superstrings is hard too, but they seem to get a hook through particle physics. So what is it about condensed matter that can help people? I'd like to know what inspired you to work on condensed matter to begin with, and what it is about condensed matter as you know it today that might interest the people. So you know what, I think it might be helpful just to go around and each of us say who we are and what is our basic discipline, because it might be relevant to the comments that you make about relating physics. So we'll start with Doug. And I'm Barbara Levy. I'm the journalist in residence. Okay, just as a starter, I prepared a few. I just downloaded from the Nobel Prize website, Nobel Foundation website, the press releases they've given out for some of the condensed matter topics that they've for which they've given the Nobel Prize. And I just took snippets from there in terms of what it was that they thought would interest the public about the awards that they were giving. So hopefully there's one left for me. Okay, so for example, I underlined some of the themes that I think you see recurringly in attempts to convey science, and in this case in particular condensed matter, to the press. New types of particles, new form of quantum fluids. So something about the newness of something is of interest to people. Relating quantum fluids to superconductivity. So that's starting to get into relating it to, first of all, something people know, and second, something they know has an application that maybe make their life better in some way. And then, of course, breakthrough, the word breakthrough is like a cheap shot, but people seem to like breakthroughs. Seems to impress them. In terms of the Bose-Einstein condensates, there's a physical picture that they liked, something about singing in unison, or, you know, in those, when that prize came out, you had these analogies to soldiers marching and so forth. So physical pictures are important. Again, new state of matter, new this, new that. 70 years were to pass before you saw it. So something about the search to see it has been long or difficult. That seems to be something. This is considered primitive laser beam. So they were always looking for applications, and again a promise of revolutionary applications. Then I went back to the award given to Phil Anderson, Neville Mott, and John Van Vleck. And first they had some words about fundamental theoretical investigations, but then all the other wording that was trying to sort of sell it was in terms of applications. that lies behind current technical development, particularly in electronics, development of the laser, technical development of amorphous materials like glass. And then there's a more recent one from the American Physical Society about observation of superfluid properties in some of these Fermi gases. And they're trying to relate it to information that might relate to neutron stars or quark gluon plasma. Well, so neutron stars is something people might want to glom onto. And then the other two things are room temperature superconductors or magnetically levitated trains. So those are examples. No, that was a very recent. In fact, there was a press conference that actually mentioned room temperature superconductors. So, one can realize that you can go too far in some of these attempts to make it up. What?
This particular thing, they were about as cold as you can get.
Yeah. Yeah.
So Barbara, are these examples of successful efforts?
I think we can laugh at them, but I think we have to take them seriously in terms of what it is that the press will buy, if you want the press or the public. Now, maybe you disagree. Maybe you think there's another way you can interest the public. But this is the way I think the press is trying to go about it right now. These are the kinds of things. I sort of wrote a summary. I actually talked to a press officer at the American Institute of Physics who tries to interest reporters in condensed matter. And here's the things that he thinks work. He said, first of all, reporters and people, the general public, they like to hook things to applications. It's just something that they can see. And on the more basic side, just a sense of intrigue or awe or wonder, just a surprise. You know what, I'd like to list these, and then I think we'll just discuss these as go down the list as to how they relate to physics. And I'd like your feeling that should condensed matter try to sell itself on the basis of applications? Or is it ludicrous? Or is it dishonest? I don't know. Visuals. I think the public really likes to have pictures to look at. They love these pictures from the Hubble Space Telescope. And they may not actually get a lot of information out of them, but they get some kind of pleasure, can relate in some way. And I'd like to have you think about what visuals there might be, especially in condensed matter, that you could either develop or already have to interest people. Did you, David? Okay. And then ease of understanding. I think Phil Shuey at the American Institute of Physics said when he's trying to, when he sees reporters, he runs a press room for the condensed matter meeting every March. But he sees reporters coming in there and he's trying to sell them on some condensed matter topic. And meanwhile, on the internet, they see a beautiful picture from Hubble and press release almost ready made for them. And it's easy to understand. And then some physicist comes up and starts talking about the Fermi C, and they're like, so I think that's definitely a problem. Ease of understanding. And in terms of, I myself would like to get you guys to talk, you all to talk about physical pictures in condensed matter. I think you can make some really good physical pictures of what's happening. I myself really have problems with phase space. And I think that's the way a lot of condensed matter people think about and relate to their topic is through phase space, but I'd like to talk about how we can get the discussion more on real space. And in general, links to biology. Because we're a human animal, and I think we naturally like to know more about ourselves and our fellow species. So those are some of the topics I now would like to discuss in detail about what it is, you know, how physics, condensed matter might fit into any of these, or maybe you have your own ideas about how condensed matter. Steve?
Remark about visual.
Yeah.
As a point to it, so the only thing that has body in that is
Yeah.
And I remember once an argument with somebody who was very able to get the students for a while, trying to tell what it was. And I said to them, well, look, you know, these guys, Kobe,
yeah.
Enormous glass, enormous. Everybody's incredibly excited. The thing about the visual that Kobe showed the world, there was a Rorschach of the wild of red and green dots, which meant nothing. The child painted. What kind of visual is that? Only an effective visual because that community had educated the public over and over again as to what that visual meant. And having done that, they could then, once the data was released, presented the blob of red and green, which looked even pretty, and make it appear that this was one of the great observations of the festival. Seeing the face of God in this vortex. So the visual was nothing without the effort that that community had done over the years in explaining why that visual was an important and exciting much to the setting. That's what they do well. It's not just the fact that they have great pictures, but even when the pictures aren't so great, they're real, but they're very sophisticated to read from that blob, the face of God, and the speculation between the galaxies, but they hammered that home. So part of it is focusing on a message that, astronomers not really superb at this, hammering the message over and over again. They see the face of God every 6 months. Each time they explain it, it doesn't matter because people forget it. Learn how to interpret. So it's partly a matter of focus. One of the main problems in condensed matter physics is the picture again requires the visual, all requires sophistication. And there's a lack of focus. It's such an enormous field, so many different aspects, that it's hard to come back to something. That is central over and over again so that people become acquainted with the sophistication that's necessary to get excited about a new world.
But are there some visuals that are could be common to condensed matter that, I mean, being here, I just keep thinking of electrons running around in two-dimensional planes. In some kind of order. I mean, I think there's a lot of order that's studied, and it seems like there's a lot of ground for either finding or making visuals. What?
The point you made was, I think, quite good, which is that it's much easier for people to visualize things in real space. For example, you suppose the Einstein quantum state, where you wish you had the atom stars, which had a nice peak in the center. In real sense, it's much easier to visualize, like you show someone a tunneling spectrum, a perfect Fourier transform.
Well, I think some of your FCM pictures are certainly very beautiful, and even though you could imagine that every 6 months having a similar picture, but you would get a different system or something.
Are you talking about the STM pictures that have been made of the high temperature superconductors, or just anything, just atomic surfaces? Yeah, surface science, yeah, that's been a great tool.
But it's not direct. It's sort of sometimes a bit forced.
Yeah.
Okay. Is it a house chamber or puddle chamber picture from the 60s have a similar impact with their efforts? I mean, you're just seeing those a lot in popular.
Yeah, they're again hard to read.
I don't think they're hard to read. I did my thesis on a bubble chamber experiment. And I loved it because, you know, I could say to people, you know, that's an electron going there and that's a positron going there. And, you know, I thought that was a wonderful visual. And you know, I think you could put one in the newspapers and say, new particle discovered, and you could show the tracks. And that was easy to explain. Yeah. Steve, were you going to say something?
I was going to say, to some extent, we have the embarrassing dimension that, you know, we have so much data, so much new things coming in, that it's hard to have one thing that everyone, you know, all the theorists, you know, the thinking that all the other things, you know, not being able to think of it, because there's so much data to think about.
Does it really matter if you, it's wonderful if you can say this is really fundamental, but if you have several things, each of which is exciting but different, you know, as long as you can find some visuals that, to put in front of people that aren't being put there right now.
It does lose the focus, and you can't expect to educate the public over the course of many years on a particular topic if you're, you know, having a whole bunch of topics.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. I never imagined the quantum quality of the field of the first time it was COVID.
It seems to picture like there's only some of it today that's published early on.
But I think chaos had a central theme, though. I mean, you could probably state it in one sentence. What's the idea behind chaos? No.
Maybe that what people got out of the book they don't know. But at least if people could actually think of it, you would have Alberto Michelberry talking about superfluid turbulence. You could have fluid turbulence healing. You could have Mitchell Breitenbaum talking about period doubling. I mean, it had maybe 10 different physics areas.
Mm-hmm.
It was very representative of that area from the side of physics without feeling the need to narrow it down to condensed matter physics, superconductivity, or condensed matter physics.
Yeah. Well, are there some themes like that that you could identify in condensed matter?
I think someone could write it out like that now.
Okay, but that was a book by a very good friend of mine, Dwight Bode,
metaphysical. It wasn't an effort to communicate. We went out. It was in the air, right? The people were pushing.
Well, I think it was a well-done book, but I think it had to have been in the air. There had to be an initial public interest in it. Yeah.
The complexity is going to solve all the problems of the world.
You know, I feel less
needed. No, but I think the one that's probably felt it was this the hype. The fact that there was this one sense, you know, that at the core of the world is complexity and chaos and work, and we can now control it. And now are learning enough about it so we can control it. Mm-hmm. And benefit the message.
Mm-hmm.
And but it was focused. Now there's a one sentence thing which can be sort of authentic examples of complexity. So like many of them, things can be oversold and tight. Which is okay. But it was focused on this one idea with lots of other things. If you could sell condensed metaphysics, you know, six strongly correlated electrons, lots of different examples, lots of wonderful new ideas, new materials. But the way that presented somehow is some kind of unifying.
Yeah,
it's. The unifying message is always the same as it was, you know, because you have very simple rules. In the case of strongly correlated electrons, it would just be quantum mechanics plus the rules that it ever had. You'd use incredibly rich behavior. And I don't think that. Well, that was essentially the one sentence message of complexity or whatever in the 80s. I think that one could write a similar book like that now. I don't know. So from what you're saying, I don't know what the situation was like before that book. It sounds like the environment was already prepared for people to grab onto it.
There was definitely a lot of people talking up.
What, Ben, you're shaking your head there.
I think that the appeal of the chaos book was that it had spoke to human situations like economics and just like the appeal of think of a body cosmology appeal to some sort of religious sense of awe.
Do you think there's any hope in relating it to the public? I mean, I think there's a need to make some connections at some place, and maybe it doesn't. Maybe if it can't be on this universal level that Kobe can reach, then maybe you can identify a few points where you can make useful connections, if not a blockbuster book.
You've also sort of given up the connection to say, look, we're studying this because it's interesting. It's a fundamental endeavor to understand the world. One doesn't want to give that up. I think we have. Mm-hmm.
I've been asking a few people privately, you know, why did you go into condensed matter? You know, so far I've gotten some practical answers, like that's where the best advisor was, or I didn't want to get involved in a big group like you do in particle physics. But, you know, is there somebody who was just attracted to condensed matter, and can you articulate that? Why you chose to study condensed matter? Yeah?
I was attracted when I was a graduate student, an undergraduate student. I read this Merlin's paper on superfluidity in 1977.
Mm-hmm.
And I was in my third year of physics. I didn't understand too much, but I found that it was a great combination of quantum mechanics and sophisticated matter spaces. with a moderate amount of mathematics, in the sense that I saw that the particle physics has the ratio, the mathematics to physics to mathematics ratio was a bit too low. Well, in on that matter, it was a better excuse. That affects the
Do I sense a dig here? Yeah, so it almost had to be a really good, really important result because there was so much time invest money and people invested in it. That's a good point. Yeah.
One of the difficulties in the mature field would lead the interest of public in the early days of trying to understand the magnets or electromagnetic in real life.
They almost have a negative image. As people say, you know, I don't want any chemicals in my life. Which is kind of hard. But well, actually, one question I wanted to ask to challenge you all, you know, in terms of relating to the public, a lot of the phenomena, especially in the Exotica program, happens at really extreme conditions. I mean, so extreme that you're still looking for systems to embody some of the ideas you're developing. So you've got high temperature, low temperature, high magnetic fields, and you know, two-dimensional gases or one-dimensional structures. You know, if I'm the public, I could ask, you know, why study that? Is there any way that's ever going to affect me in any way whatsoever?
I think one of the answers is application. But if you face someone who questions you in a hostile manner, you can look how important is your name and your CE player.
Yeah.
Right? So they'll tell me anything, but they don't like modulation therapy. You know, so, and this tends to work rather well. But on the other hand, if you have someone with an open mind who asks you, then I find that what works is if you tell them the question that you're studying. Like, you know, what is a system which fluctuates very, very strongly? And then just give examples of, you know, things which fluctuate ever more strongly, and then say at the end, you don't know what happened. And then you give kind of one of the examples of what you actually work on.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that then you often get empty answers back, but often then people have a rough idea of what kind of question you are asking. I think if you really ask, talk too much about a particular realization of this problem, then.
So you've successfully started with talking about fluctuations in a realm where the audience is familiar with.
Yeah.
Yeah. And then taking it into more extreme situations.
Well, no. Tough,
yeah. Just the idea of what you're... That's an interesting idea.
I mean, there's several things. So, you know, just flat energy. Crystallize, not imagine something come crystallize, like what does it do instead? And these are the kind of things that people, you know, then they ask actually what does happen. And then they understand the next thing you say, but they don't appreciate the question.
Mm-hmm. Yeah?
Make sense from giving the popular talk.
Yeah.
What amazes people is quantum mechanics, and in particular, the idea of some of the
what?
the idea of something goes like this, of the particle going to start out with the problem.
Okay.
What I usually do, I start with this and I and end up with a solid state experiment, a sonic experiment, so you have a stop between them, and you can go to 2 hours in parallel. The only way you can explain this is that you can explain what you can explain, like so.
Right.
By having the electron going in
fast,
yeah, along two arms, and then you have to explain what it means and what it does.
Yeah.
And I found it limited the limited experience, but it's quite simple. So that works much better than any kind of
information. Right, right. So you're tapping into the sense of awe, of you know, wonder, something that you don't know at all. Yeah. Yeah, actually talking to one person who couldn't come today, and now you probably can figure out in part who I'm talking about, because I'm going to say she observed that people seem to like a surprise, and she said in condensed matter, and very often they don't have an idea of how what the behavior should be, so they can't be surprised about what it is. So, you know, if you can start with some expectations of what it should be, and then surprise them by confronting them, like you have with the quantum behavior. Yeah.
So you say that what you expect is that the particle will have one history, at one point, at any given point in time.
Yeah.
And you think that that's something important.
Right. Are there, have any of the rest of you have found anything that's been successful in talking to the public or to students? It may not matter so much what you talk about, as, you know, you may not find something that relates to your own work if you can find something about condensed matter that demonstrates what it is that you, something about what a condensed matter person explores. You write for a newspaper, right?
No.
Didn't you say that you...
Well, not regularly, no.
Not regularly. No, have no, you no, written no. It about some condensed matter topics?
Well, with the occasion of the Nobel Prize in the last few years, I have written articles. My colleagues, his colleagues used to like them, but... I was lost in the third paragraph, but I think I was very successful. So. But it varies. On some occasions, it was just a bad time. I mean, usually when my wife is in a lawyer, okay, so what I do is I think it's hard to read. And the last time I didn't do it, and then it became too technical. Usually it's about it in some places, and if I could complete it. So give it to a non-physical person, I think it's a good idea, because that person has a good judgment on what kind of, you know, audience.
Yeah.
But I think, well, maybe you have always asked, because I can relate, but people can, like, this is something that appeals to people, just hearing the newspaper in the vacation, people come, some of them are people, maybe contact us, you know, that we're trying to help us.
Yeah. Is there a paradigm about superconductivity that one could familiarize, some kind of picture of it that one could get the public to, even if it's a cartoon picture like the quasi-particle picture? Or is it, I mean, the problem is there's at least two different types of superconductivity, right? So, I don't know if there's a visual there.
Mm-hmm. Which is an exaggeration, but I
Well, in the case of superconductivity, it really isn't.
Yeah, I hate to sell anything in terms of applications because I do think that condensed matter is accumulated and bitten by the negative side of that, which is you could say that condensed matter is relevant to biology, you're building trains or something like that, but it's fun to people who build trains with your biology. So I think the intellectual mystery of condensed matter is the hard thing to communicate, but I think it's what's really worth communicating.
There's different kinds of condensed matter. You are talking about such a work on now, which is part of each form of the condensed matter. And then I think you're exactly right. One kind of, people talking about string theory do a great job in kind of getting people firing pretty long to and passing agents. And they, and the best way to do that again is to make whatever connection. And then it worked away from that. That's what you're saying. But of course, much of condensed matter physics, if you put H y equal to zero, sometimes you have an easier job than selling, since that's much more familiar, selling this paper can walk about H bar equals zero is easier. This is a field where you should just let it kind of focus on, try to get the focus on what the core is intellectually in the end, which from what I gather, both of the number of depth, which the application point of that is the antibody system, start from that. Like astronomers, whenever they can, will start from the beginning of the universe, but they whatever connection gets them.
Maybe condensed matter physicists are a little bit more shy and cautious about sweeping statements.
But it's just behind what they put when they talk, they just express why they're interested in it.
Yeah, no, I agree. I mean, that you paraphrase it. Yeah. Yeah.
It's, application of quantum mechanics, the electric behavior in many body systems that have incredible emerging properties. So that's the message.
Yeah.
But they're just not trained, it seems to me, or used to, or have any model of behaving that way.
Yeah.
Whereas in these other fields, young astronomers growing up, you see people do this all the time, so you learn to do it. There aren't very many internet side of business who do this. And, you're sort of good books about thought connection. It's written by Price.
I read one book a few years ago, which was the title was H2O, Water. Biography of Water.
Oh, about
Water in all aspects, astronomical, chemical, other, how it's high for, why water so strange. And I found it very effective. I think it was, I don't know if this was a bestseller, but I must say I found it in the bookshop of America. Okay, so I suppose it was very wide public. And I enjoyed it a lot, but also because it was popular physics or science or something, or what not yet galaxies. But of course, then what looks the family there is water, and water is something everywhere. What I don't even know the name, but I think it's kind of the. I think it was more a science writer. Which sounds like people.
It's a biography of an atom or something like that. Yes, sir.
Down to the level of what is the story? What is it?
One of the things I see in this program a lot is looking at order. I mean, you've talked about quantum mechanics and how it shows up. But I see this recurring theme of order and competing order and changes phases, which is changing from one kind of order to another. And I wonder if there's any way to bring that to the public and have that as a theme to around which to talk about some condensed matter phenomena, or is it just a little too hard? I mean, everyone starts with magnetism. Maybe you can't move beyond that, but maybe you can use that as a model. I don't think there have been many attempts. I mean, I hear comments that there haven't been many, and I know of one little teeny book on superconductivity by some Russians that I thought was very nice, but I don't think it was widely circulated. Does anyone know of any other? I have that book, yeah. STUFF. That's a great title. Yes. No. No. But history, I think, especially with that human element, is always a good peg too. And of course, the transistor involved this interesting story of personal rivalries. And a lot of these popularized books, the chaos. Every time they had a chapter, I think the reporter was going to a new lab and telling you the little personal characteristics of the scientist. And that seems to be a feature of books now. I don't know whether it's a necessary one. It seems to be a peg that the public picks up on.
In terms of marketing, first of all, you tell us a little story. It's kind of amazing when you touch with you and write a press release on it. The reason that the press release is so important is that that's the key piece of translation. And so when you talk about visuals, newspapers are edited by word people, not by reading people. So the people who decide to do that story are the word people, not the layout and visual people. So you need to interest the science reporter in your work to get the story in the paper. But that's just your work. That's not the whole field. And what happened with Chaos and Blitz is, at the New York Times, he was covering this, and the whole field was a fire. And so he did several stories, and as he was doing his stories, he could see the developing phenomenon. And that gave him the idea for the book. Mm-hmm. But it was those individual press releases, those individual stories, that led to the book eventually. That's one, when you're a science writer, you're looking for that overall exciting principle that you can base a book on. But from your point of view, when you're doing your individual work,
you mean successfully? But he knew how to talk to them, right? It's for analyzing the lungs. But you're making a more generic statement. You're saying, in general, you didn't have any other condensed matter physicist.
I did not come forth.
Yeah, so and is there...
Other guys, yeah. And most of your guys, tried to figure out how to court me so I would assist them with their marketing
method. Well, so that raises a question that I also have is, is there something about either condensed matter or the people who do it or the nature of the science that makes condensed matter physicists less likely to reach out to communicate? Is it just, is it perceived as harder or is it... Well, is it because those communities need the big bucks for their big projects that they got good at it? And condensed matter is more successful in getting the little bit of... And they're gearing up right now to try to sell their linear collider, so you're going to see a lot more. But there's some of the sources of traditional funding are going away. Does the community feel a pinch in funding or not? Now, are you seeing more of a need to communicate because of that? Yeah. But there's not a tradition for doing it, is that it? No, I think. Would anyone here? Yeah? No?
I tried to avoid them, but I just didn't want to do it.
But were you happy when you had articles appear about your work?
Well, I was happy it came out in Science, but I just didn't want to do anything beyond that.
So it's perceived as a bother?
Well, not just a bother, but somehow, the times I've tried it, what came out at the other end was so mangled and so unrelated to what you do.
But you somehow didn't feel you could control that process?
Yeah.
Well, I am going to have another session with Jackie's help on how to communicate with and control the press releases if possible.
Much more efficient, you know, there was a court of people saying, yeah, this is really great. But so very often the image, I think, our projects, the outside world, it's so disunified that it's very hard to get their figure that something really happening that was
But that's really because some of the people are more individualistic, but because they can afford being individualistic, because they can support any way, you know, a little oil and energy, community that they act for freedom or they are lost.
Well, no, of course, the Catholics in particular, though there are certainly internal controversies and disagreements, get together and meet up, and then they have
So really, it's very interesting. I mean, this is an article, but money should dictate marketing.
It's more than that. I think it's also, it comes back to this Kobe picture that could speak for the whole field also. And you couldn't do that in this community. The problems are very diverse, and each one of these is studying a reasonably different aspect of things. Am I right? That there's a diversity not just in the source of funds, but in the nature of what's studied under the rubric of condensed matter.
Because we aren't doing the fundamental.
Oh, so drive the whole
thing.
What?
Yeah.
Well, that's not generally
a
good thing.
Well, no, please don't say that. Yeah. But you do have a feeling. You have a feeling that there's that what you're exploring is really fundamental behavior. You're looking for some
absolutely.
Very.
I mean, you don't have to define fundamental as the most shortest distance.
Why is that concern? Why are they all shiny? Yeah. We've known that for an awful long time.
Yeah.
And now we're looking at the subtleties.
Sure, but it's still fun.
But it makes it hard to explain. You know,
that's
start by saying why is that concern? Really,
I don't think that's the main issue regarding the public. The issue of the public, whether it's moral or fundamental, that's more a question of a debate within the business community. You know, but I think that question makes it easier back to the public. I don't think the public needs something that's very fundamental.
Obviously, how it's set, you know, you can do things on the web, but you can
Physics News Update?
Oh, yeah.
Ehrenstein.
Ehrenstein, yeah.
Focus.
Physics Focus, yeah. And they take, things that come out and figure out letters and so forth and present it.
It's sponsored by the American Physical Society. But I'll forward it to you. Yeah. But it's addressed at to the physicist, I believe. Not I somewhat to the journalist who might be reporting on it. Yeah.
I'm sure they send it to the press.
Yeah.
And it's easy because what you're looking for in the news is you're a reporter, and often something says is you can get a manager to let you do the story. Mm-hmm.
Are people happy with what they do?
Everybody I thought who's ever seen it, yeah.
I think the same thing, but think of promo journal.
Right.
Focus is from PRA, well,
And we've exhausted this
thing.
So it has to be what? What about, are we late?
It's Sabir's attitude.
I don't.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Well, does everyone...
maybe some disagree, but
Does everyone here agree that that it's important to communicate to the public? There's nobody who would disagree with that. Yeah. So it's worth the effort. Yeah. So what do people think of Tony Z's book? And in a way, to me, that a book about symmetry speaks to this community, although he took it more in the direction of particle physics. But, you know, is that symmetry and order something that one can build a book around in this field, or was that too dry for the public?
Not
what?
Fearful symmetry.
Right.
Mm-hmm.
Well, on the other hand, as we said, that some books, they are good enough that they may not be terribly popular, but if they're good enough for the community of physicists, I mean, they are better for that reason.
Right.
It's going to be very interesting. That street didn't have the impact of the short history.
It's much harder to convey order and disorder in the community.
Yeah.
For some reason, I would have thought.
Well, he related it. I think he related it to art, which helped. That maybe people, it's not that people run around every day saying, you know, I love symmetry. Okay, well, I encourage you to keep thinking about it and looking for especially visuals. I think, you know, more thought to however you, you know, whatever you work on, is there a way to come up with a picture that can speak to the public, especially when you speak to the public?